Blog Talk Radio.
The number one podcast for plus size women. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis, coming to you live from Los Angeles. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2012. Plus Model Magazine has a new app for iPhones, Androids, and Blackberries. You can do a lot of cool things with it, like get Plus Model trends and updates, and you can listen to Plus Model Radio. Visit plusmodelmag.com and click on mobile app to get the app today. Now, this weekend, February 17th through the 20th, I'm going to be in Washington State for the Miss Washington Plus America pageant. So if you're in the area, I would love to see you there. For a complete schedule of events and to purchase tickets in advance, visit the website at www.waplusamerica.com. And the WA is for Washington, WAPlusAmerica.com. And I also have some good news to share. We didn't do a show last week, but last week the news broke that I'm the new spokesperson of Bennett's Boots, and I'll be traveling to Melbourne, Australia in May, and I'm very excited. Not only will I be doing a photo shoot for Bennett's Boots, but I will also be speaking at the It Fits Fashion Festival. So to everyone listening in Australia, I know that's a country, so everybody's not in the same place, but if you're close enough to get to Melbourne, Australia, I hope I get a chance to see you there, and I'll post info about the festival as soon as I get it on my website and on my social network. So make sure you follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm also hosting Curves Rock Fashion Weekend, July 27th through the 29th in Baltimore, Maryland. For more information about that event, and if you're interested in being a model or a designer in that fashion show, visit CurvesRockWeekend.com. Now, Plus Model Magazine is a Plus Model Radio is a proud sponsor of the Fuller Woman Expo, which will be September 21st through the 23rd in Detroit. And for more information, visit thefullerwomanexpo.com. And Plus Model Radio is a sponsor, but Plus Model Magazine is also supportive of the event as well. Sometimes I get tongue-tied with the radio and magazine. And a happy birthday goes out to Stephanie Penn, who is the new contributor for Plus Model Radio. She will not be with us this evening because she's out celebrating her birthday with family, but we want to give a shout out to Stephanie. And if you visited the Daily Venus Divas website today, it was so cute. On the top of the website, it was a little cupcake, and it said, "Happy birthday to Stephanie." I thought that was real cute. So happy birthday. Definitely thank you for all that you do in the community. Not only is she a contributor for this podcast, but she's also, as you know, the editor-in-chief of Daily Venus Divas Magazine, and she also is involved with the Fuller Woman Expo, plus a host of other things. So happy birthday. Now, tonight's guests include activist Marilyn Warren, creator of the I Stand Against Weight Bullying campaign, Denise Badeau, plus model and star of Nuvo TV's Curvy Girls, but up first is Charmin Canton. Sharman Cannon is an award-winning romance novelist and wrote the first bridal guide for full-figured women entitled Down That Aisle in Style, a wedding guide for full-figured women released by Wind River Publishing. She is teaming up with curvy celebrity stylist and fashion blogger Sherry Collins for Down That Aisle, a celebration of style and romance for curvy brides, as a multimedia project, book, and webisodes. Their intention is simple: to show curvy brides and style go together like peanut butter and jelly. Let's welcome Sharman to the show.
Hey, gosh, Shanice, how are you? Thanks
I'm
for having
wonderful.
Me.
How are you?
I am doing pretty good. A little bit tired today, but none the worse for wear.
Well, the last time you appeared on the show was a couple years ago. It was 2008, and I know a lot has happened since then.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, indeed. Quite a bit. My God, how is this time flying by like this?
I know. So, well, first thing I want to talk about, you're saying you're a little tired today, and when you were on the show last, you told us about your MS and how you're kind of an activist in that area. So how is your health and how are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling okay. You know, I'm getting along as it goes on. And in fact, this month is I'm officially having MS for 16 years. I was diagnosed in February, 16 years
ago. And that's an accomplishment because sometimes you don't know how long somebody will live after they're diagnosed, correct?
Yeah, so how long it'll be before you become wheelchair-bound and lots of other things start to happen to you. It's, you know, it's an insidious disease because it just kind of, it wears at you. You know, you're relapsing, remitting, you'll relapse, and then you'll go into remission. And I'm at the point now where I'm considered secondary progressive, which means that every time I have a relapse, I'm left a little more debilitated. There's a little bit more disability that's left with each attack. So what's happened now is I've been working really closely. I have a terrific neurologist. And I've been taking, I'm on a few different medications. Mm-hmm. I take an injection that costs an incredible, ungodly amount of money a month. And I go to physical therapy, and I do some MS yoga and Tai Chi to keep myself together. I'm just kind of keeping it happening, and I stay active with my mind through writing and kind of keeping my fingers out there, because I'm always, you know, and nobody, I may not be as vocal out there, but I'm always skulking around, seeing what's going on out there in the plus size world, see what the curvy girls are doing.
All right. Well, it's good to hear that you're doing well. In 16 years, that's a blessing, and I'm hoping you have 16 more.
Oh, I am too. Thank you.
So one of the other things that you mentioned in the last interview was about your literary agency. Now, are you still doing that? Or
I actually still am doing that. What I did is I kind of condensed it a little bit, where I don't have as many clients, because I have a lot of clients at one point, and I had some people that would come in and interns that would help me. And what I've done is I had to do a little bit of a cleaning house, and it's nothing against the writers, because believe me, when you're an agent, you're kind of like in a mama, you know, a mother duck, mother hen role, you know. Mm-hmm. So you take these people on because you believe in their talent, you believe in it, you believe in what their work is, you believe that you can find them a deal, and you believe that there's going to be an editor out there that's going to see what it is that you see. And, it's really a leap of faith. It's all about having that faith. And what happens is that the problem, what starts to happen is that eventually it starts to cost you a little bit more to get those things out there than it is bringing you in. So you have to kind of streamline yourself down. I still have a number of clients, mm-hmm. And most of them have publishing deals. I mean, nobody's on the New York Times bestsellers list yet, but I haven't given up on that either.
All right, so that's still going strong and successful.
Yes,
I'm glad to hear that. Now tell us about your book, Down That Aisle in Style, A Wedding Guide for the Full Figure Woman, to the listeners that are not familiar with you in this project.
Well, this came about many, many, many moons ago, not too long after I was diagnosed with MS is when I started writing the book, but my absolute craziness about weddings happened when I was like 2 or 4 years old. I was just like in love with weddings. I loved everything that had to do with them. I loved the dresses, the cakes, just the whole, the pomp and circumstance. I really thought that was great. But what really led to me writing about it and getting into this book was because, you know, I've never been a little girl. Even when I was a little girl and gravity was much kinder to me when I was younger, I was bigger than most of the other girls. Now, I realize now that I actually have a hot body, but I wouldn't have known that back then because, you know, the girls were skinny.
Right.
So I was like, God, I'm just this big fat thing, but I really actually had a good figure and what have you, but I never felt good about me, you know, I never did, and it took being ill, I hate to say it, it took being ill with first cancer, that was my first thing.
Oh, I didn't know it.
I was diagnosed with uterine cancer when I was 23 years old.
I didn't know it.
Yeah. And I actually had a complete hysterectomy before I turned 30.
Wow.
My 29th birthday.
Wow.
I fought a lot. I went through chemotherapy, the whole nine yards. I mean, you name it.
You are
and
a survivor.
You have to be. I mean, you really have to be. And I think being ill and having that happen to me kind of woke me up because I had been obsessed with my body and not being skinny enough before that.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like I was never good enough. I was never, you know, I was just not making it. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't like as cute like the other girls. And I always wanted to be that. And then when I heard those words that, you know, that you're sick and now you've got to fight for your life at this particular point, all the idea of having to be a particular size, you know, just flew out the window.
Right.
And you start thinking about your life. And after dealing with it and going through chemotherapy and all the other things that you do, it's a humbling experience. But at the same time, it's an enlightening one, and it's one that gives you pause to realize that you have to be happy in your own skin and realize that you're wonderfully made, that, you know, what God has cast for you is a wonderful cast.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare we sit around and try to find the flaws all the time.
Right.
So stop looking at it as ugly. Start looking at the pretty. And I just kind of changed my attitude. And I decided, I asked God, you know, because when you're sick, you bargain with God. We do a lot of bargaining with God. And I said, you know, if I get out of this, I really am going to focus on trying to take this message of learning how to love yourself and realizing that being a beautiful woman or a beautiful bride, because since I do love weddings in particular, has nothing to do with what size you are. It really doesn't.
Right.
It's about, you know, what kind of person you are, if you're a sweet person. I mean, because it just doesn't matter because, let's face it, you know, skinny girls get divorced and cheated on, and then curvy girls get divorced and cheated. I mean,
right.
It's just all, it happens to all of us, you know,
right.
And it doesn't
right.
matter what size we are.
Right.
So to be so hung up on it is
right.
just kind of crazy.
So you wrote this book, and besides writing the book, you also were doing wedding consulting and coordinating.
Yes,
now,
I was.
Are you still doing that type of work?
Well, every now and again when somebody asks me to do something special for a wedding or something like that, I'll come out and do it. That doesn't bother me at all. I love going bridal shopping and doing the wedding planning. And I mean, really, that's part of what's led up to the project that I'm working on now with Cherie Collins, is that the fact that I love shopping for wedding gowns. And I wanna take the sting out of it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many girls, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of girls who probably watch the show on TLC, you know, Say Yes to the Dress.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that one particular time they do Say Yes to the Dress, Big Bliss, which is for your plus-size bride.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as ratings go, apparently they actually get higher ratings for that, for those particular kinds of episodes, than they do their regular ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, now that's supposed to tell, that tells you something, because there is that a little bit of something that you want to see a girl that kind of looks like you. You know,
right.
she's got some boobs. She's got a little belly. She's got some, you know, she's got a little, she's got, what's my son tell me, junk in the trunk. She's got some junk in her trunk. And you want to see a girl that looks like that.
And I haven't been to the point where I have to have wedding plans just yet, but I can imagine just finding the gowns would be hard, because all the stores don't carry the plus sizes. You have to order it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I really don't like that idea that, you know, when you go into a store, because you know what, let's face it, when it comes down to getting married, all of us girls, we have bought into Cinderella lock, stock, and barrel years ago, and we want to find that Prince Charming, and when our Prince Charming comes along, and he gets down on that bended knee, or however he proposes to you, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day, so there could be quite a number of proposals getting ready to go down tomorrow, too. And, you know, when that happens to you, that's such a joyful experience, you know. And I really think that what happens for a lot of plus-size brides-to-be is that the joy gets taken away because of the shopping experience. Because they're not finding what they want. You walk into a store, and instead of being able to go, oh, can I try this on? Well, our samples only go up to size, you know, 14. And in the bridal world, a size 14 sample is more like a 10 or 12.
Right, and then that's not only for the brides, but for the bridesmaid dresses, too.
Oh, yeah, then nobody's having a good time. Nobody.
You can't order the several of them to try on in person. You kind of stuck with the one you order, right?
Exactly. You don't get an opportunity to say, oh, well, let's put this on and see how this looks and see what I've, and have that same experience as somebody who's a size 8 or a size, you know, a size, you know, a sample size 4 or a sample size 6 couldn't have. You know, just sliding anything on and going, ooh, I can buy this. And that is, and I really think that's terrible. And I think a lot of girls develop a fear of the shopping. That sometimes is the biggest fear of the wedding planning, it's not finding your venue and all this stuff. I think all of us have our little wedding plans in our heads. All of us have a little something in our head already. It's finding that dress. We want that dress that expresses our personal style, our couple style for the person that you're with, the man that you're with, or your partner. I just want, you know, I'd like to be politically correct, partner as well.
Right.
You know, that expresses who you are and who you are as a couple. That's what you want to see in a wedding gown. That's what you want to see. When you see somebody's wedding, you know, you ever see somebody that wears a dress, and you know, it's like, that looks like her. That just looks like her.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, and then when they're wearing the wrong kind of thing, you've had the same thing where you're like, what in the world was she thinking putting that on?
Right.
You know, you go both ways.
So it takes, you know, time and effort to find the right wedding dress, especially if you're plus size. And so you're going to help a few women do that with your new project.
Absolutely.
Now, you have a new project called Down the Aisle, a celebration of style and romance for curvy brides. Now, tell me, how is this different from your original project?
Well, the original project was really kind of more of a textbook. If you go into my first book, and I would really I would really say if you get, if you have the opportunity to pick it up, this is not just like, you know, hey, look, for myself to, it's a textbook that really gives you kind of the soup to nuts of the how-to. I talk about fabric, what different types of fabrics mean to you, what's an opera length glove, what's your train, what's the chapel, what's a suite, what's a cathedral. It's very textbook. It has some very beautiful pictures in it, but it's textbook. It really is kind of serves as more of a guide to give you kind of information, arming you with that. This book is taking it a step up by taking it into the style, talking about now you know all the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm taking you into style. Sharia and I are taking you to style. We're talking about the types of gowns that are best reflected of your style, taking that knowledge that you have in the first book and now applying it to finding something that works and looks like you. And the idea too is that we want, you know, we've been working with Venus Divas to
right.
have, we want girls to send in their pictures of their, if you get betrothed tomorrow, get engaged, take a picture, write a little essay, and you know, go to Daily Venus Divas and enter it in and put your picture up. We'll put you up there. And we're going to choose between 8 to 10 brides to work with in New York because that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of do a bridal shoot with them. And
oh, they get a photo shoot?
They get a photo shoot to be in the book. And
oh.
we're also going to be talking as we're doing I'm also going to be writing a little bit about their romance because I'm a romance author too at the same time. So I'm going to talk about their romance and the guys get their props in there too. So the fiancés and the partners will get their props as well.
So let's make this clear about the contest. So you're specifically looking for full figure brides, what size, and like 14 and up? Or,
14 and up. We'll
okay.
take 14. If you're 12, we won't discriminate against
okay.
if you're 12.
So full figure brides, and what they have to do is go to Daily Venus Diva and submit. And to submit, how do you submit to be in this contest?
Well, there's a link that they put on the – there's a link on the homepage. If you go in the middle of the page, they'll say plus-size bride. With personal, we're calling it personal shopping. And we're actually going to go out and get the gowns. We're going to go get the gowns from these designers. We're getting designers to give us gowns to take pictures in, and it's for them to get an idea of what kind of dresses that they want. If it turns out to be a dress that they turn out that they love and they absolutely need to want to have it, we can talk to the designer, and I would love to tell you we could give them a gown. I would love to tell you that kind of
but
stuff.
But that's not a part of the contest.
But that's not a part of the contest. I really wish I could. Believe me, if I had those kinds of pockets, I'd do it.
But what they do get is a photo shoot, and we're featured in Daily Venus Diva and featured in your book.
Exactly. And they will also be a part. We have a producer that we're going to be doing webisodes. So we're going to be doing little webisodes for each couple, as talking, like giving an opportunity to talk about themselves, and we'll show what kind of dresses we put them in, and we'll discuss why we put them in the dresses, and that's as we, and they'll be videoing as they take pictures of them. It's going to be kind of a style project. This is not going to be a bridezilla, somebody screaming, yelling, and carrying on, that kind of thing. And it's not going to be a bridal salon where there's like, you know, they come with their whole clan to pick a dress.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me nuts, by the way. Every time I see that on that show, it drives me crazy.
So
because
when is the last day to enter this contest? Because it's just for the month of February.
It goes until the end of February. So they've got all of February to do this, up until the 29th. And once we have everybody in, we will be making a decision there and going through our pictures and stories, and we'll do that in March, and then we'll make an announcement. We're going to, you know, we're going to make sure we get ourselves lined up with Venus Diva, so we're right on the same page. Just let everybody know who's going to be a part of it, who's going to be a part of it. But I will say this, we do have some sponsors who are throwing some little gifts in there for some of the people, for some of our brides that we consider. We are gonna have like a grand prize and like a kind of a second and third place kind of thing, and then
okay.
a little giveaways for the remaining couples as well, which will include gift certificates for jewelry, makeup, invitations. You know, invitations are quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And also shapewear.
Okay.
Foundation wear to help women, you know, because I mean, even though how nice it is to look good in your gown, we want a little something underneath there to keep everything in place.
Right. Well, it sounds like an awesome contest. And thank you so much for being on the show to talk about your latest project with us. Tell us the official website to keep up with everything you have going on.
Well, our official website is, you can go to downthataisle.com. We're on TypePad. You can actually put it in the Google search. You can also go to Cherie's website, which is Everybody Wears Shoes.
Okay.
And find out about it. And, of course, our wonderful people at Daily Venus Diva.
Well, awesome. Well,
And you're covered. And if there's anything they also need, if they need to get in contact with me in particular or they want to send us something directly, you can also email your entry directly to us at brides@everybodywearshoes.com. I don't want to forget that. I want to make sure I'm hitting all my bells, Miss Cherie. She knows what she's talking about. I like to make sure I had my marching orders. I know what I'm doing.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show and continued success with everything you do.
Thank you so much. So I will think, and again, it's so good to talk to you, and it's so good to know that a woman like yourself, because you know everybody, by the way, Shanice is in my first book.
Yeah.
So if you want to check out her and her little sexy dress in there, yeah, I think y'all should pick that up. Take a look at Miss Shanice showing off her little her pageant sexy self at the time. She knows how to work it.
Well, thanks again.
Not a problem. You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And up next on the show is Marilyn Wan. Marilyn is a full-time rad fatty. She wrote the book Fatso and created the 2012 Fatso Day Planner, among many other projects that celebrate weight diversity. Let's welcome Marilyn to the show. Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on, Shanice. I am so glad to be here, and I was just really enjoying your last guest. What a great program you put on.
Well, thank you so much. And the last time you've been on the show is the 2009, so a lot has happened with you since being on the show as well. So first, let's talk about health at every size, because I know all of my listeners are not familiar with that concept. Everything you do is based on health at every size. So tell us, what does this concept mean?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked, because I think people have a lot of fear about health and weight-based health judgments, and none of us has a death wish, right? We all want to feel good and live a long, healthy life. And I agree with all of that. As a fat activist, I am not a medical professional, but I have to answer a lot of those really very mean-spirited health arguments, like, well, you can't be healthy if you're fat, and you don't deserve health insurance if you're fat, and all of you brought this on yourself. Anything, you know, if you have a cavity, you brought it on yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Health at Every Size is a whole community of medical professionals, psychologists, nutritionists, researchers, scientists, exercise physiologists, all the things that I'm not, and they are all people who, for their own reasons, have decided that defining health by weight is a bad idea. It just isn't doing people good. And it's actually, in many cases, doing people harm. And so as an alternative, they looked at all of the data and all of the science that we have, and they came up with this approach called Health at Every Size. And there's a professional organization, which I really think is a wonderful group, called the Association for Size Diversity and Health. And what Health at Every Size really simply says is start by loving your body right now, because we take better care of the things we love. You know?
And Health at Every Size is not just for a plus-size person. That concept is for everybody, because the projects you do is to promote diversity, but you don't exclude anybody.
No, I think people of all weights, including really very thin people, are suffering from feeling judged about their weight and fearing gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so Health at Every Size definitely has an answer for that. It's a way to first love yourself, whatever your body's natural shape is, and then regain a happy, enjoyable, uncomplicated relationship with food and eating and with being physically active and doing something you enjoy and taking good care of your body by, you know, just moderate physical activity. I don't call it exercise because I think people get a big head trip about the duty of exercise and the punishment of exercise, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having fun with something you enjoy. So Health at Every Size has a lot of really great resources for reclaiming those health-enhancing habits, because that's, I think, where a lot of people have focused their eating and their exercise habits to try to lose weight. And that weight loss goal is something that Health at Every Size says we can actually just let go of. That doesn't have to be the goal. Pretty much everyone, we have decades and decades of research on this, everyone who loses weight gains it back. Very, very few people maintain weight loss. So if we say that you can only be healthy if you lose weight, we're just dooming pretty much everyone. We're writing people's health off. And that's not kind, you know? So I think Health at Every Size has a really kind of, it's about kindness and compassion toward our body. And that's for thin people and fat people and for adults and for children. And it has really freed me from all of that training that we all get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's not good or bad food. There's my knowledge of nutrition and what I feel like eating today and trusting my body and me to take good care of me. Or there's my knowledge of fitness and joyful movement and me knowing that I can find ways to move my body and feel good that don't require me to be around people who are mean to me, you know, stuff like that.
Right. Now, this concept of Health at Every Size, as I said, you use this concept in all of the projects that you create. Now, I want to discuss two of your latest projects. One is the 2012 Fat So Day Planner. Now, tell me more about that.
Oh, it's so much fun. Well, you know, when I do Fatso, Fatso has some punctuation, fat exclamation point, and then so question mark. And I keep saying, hey, I'm fat, so why do we make a big deal of that? Hey, there are fat people in our world and thin people. Why do we make a big deal of this? And I try to bring, you know, just make sure that I'm having fun and that people around me are having fun when I'm doing it. So the Fatso book had that attitude, and I decided last year that I wanted to make something like a day planner that people could carry around with them and have as kind of a daily inspiration, elevation, reminder to be sassy and fierce and fabulous at every size. And so I created this day planner. It's got a calendar. It's got art for every month. There's a different fat animal of the month. And my favorite is the wombat, I think, I have to admit. And there are some very, very tiny little, like, one-page essays about airline travel and about civil rights and about health at every size and how to take good care of your body and about sexuality and romance and delightful, luscious sensuality. And then there are little toys and games built in, too. So, for example, if you flip the pages, you get to see Reagan Chastain, who is famous on the internet for her fat and her dance and her opinions. And she dances, and then she and I belly bump. So if you flip the flip book, there's a little animation built in. So the whole thing is still available, even though I know it's February now. I think it's still a great book for the rest of the year and also just a fun thing to have as a journal. It's available at a fat positive and body diverse celebrating shop online called Voluptuart. And I'm really grateful to the people at Voila Art for welcoming the Fatso Day Planner there and taking care of people who want to get one.
Awesome. So that's one of the projects you're currently promoting. And the second one is the I Stand Against Weight Bullying campaign. Now, first tell me the backstory, how this came about.
Yeah, definitely. I was horrified, as I imagine many people were, who saw not quite a year ago, there's a, can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I heard a funny noise. There's an ad campaign in Georgia and in Atlanta with billboards and TV ads, and they're showing fat children who are actually actors who are perfectly happy and healthy, but that's not how they look in these ads. And the messages are just so mean. And this ad campaign is coming from the Children's Hospital in Atlanta. It's just mind-boggling how they think that these mean, shaming, belittling ads that they have created would make anyone feel like they could improve their health. So I was horrified by them. The one that really struck me was a photo of a little girl, a chubby little girl, and in front of her belly on the photo it says, "It's hard to be a little girl when you aren't one." And that's not a
horrible
message. That's a message about gender conformity. It's a message about weight conformity. And the ads are particularly targeting people of color and poor people in Atlanta. And so, of course, there's all that added in, which is just not okay. And so I think people in the fat community were angry about the ads. But then in January, an article came out questioning whether they were a good idea, whether they weren't shaming and harming children. And I agreed, and I just decided that I felt just a deep urge.
Uh-oh, I think we had a little technical issue. Marilyn, are you there? Oh, shoot. Let's see if we can get Marilyn back on the line. Well, she's on the line, but we're having some issues. If we can't get her back, we'll just go on to Denise. Well, and as she was talking about the I Stand Against Bullying Weight campaign, a lot of you have seen the pictures pop up on Facebook, and the pictures are in black and white, and it says, "I Stand," and then here's Marilyn calling back. Marilyn?
Hi there. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. You were doing better than I was, though. Thank you.
But that took up some of our time, so let's fast forward to what the campaign is and how people can get involved.
Here's the fun thing. Instead of a horrible warning and negativity of the ads that were in Atlanta, I created an image of myself that says, "I Stand," in bright fuchsia letters, and shows me, and then it says what I stand for and against. I stand against harming fat children and for health at every size. And I invited people to send me their photo and their credo, and I would make them one of these images. And so far we've had several hundred people participate, and I'm really excited to invite people listening to you and all of your people to participate. Send a photo and what you stand for and against, really very short, just a few words, and then you can post your own standard, I'm calling it like a standard for what we stand for, these I Stand photos online, and they're getting a lot of attention. And there's also been a campaign that Reagan Chastain, the fat positive blogger, created to raise money to buy an actual billboard and a series of bus shelter ads in Atlanta. And that happened last week. Our community raised over $20,000.
Wow.
Really with no problem. And so we're going to have actual advertising in Atlanta combating and speaking back to the negativity and the shaming and offering a positive, sustainable, happy, fun approach for health for everybody. So I'm excited about that, and I apologize for yammering on and on, but I hope people will find me online. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me just by email. Is it okay if I tell people?
Yeah, please do.
Sure. My name is Marilyn, so it's Marilyn at fatso.com. So that's fatso.com. And you can send your photo and your credo directly there, and then you'll get your image back by email. And then you can post it and be part of this amazing campaign. I think people have just been excited to have a way that's safe and fun to stand up against treatment, the mistreatment that we all really don't want. And we've all had it, and none of us need it.
And I joined the campaign, and I just post mine up on Facebook and Twitter today. So I think it's wonderful what you are doing. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. I loved yours. Yours was wonderful. I loved what it said and how it looks. It's just great.
And so tell us your official website so we can keep up with everything you have going on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the FATSO website is not really going right now. There's stuff there, but it's not about this project. But there's a Tumblr,
okay.
So people can go to istandagainstweightbullying.tumblr, that's T-U-M-B-L-R.com,
mm-hmm.
Or there's an I Stand Against Weight Bullying Facebook page, or if you'd like to get the day planner kind of for a daily boost of body positivity, that's available at voluptuart.com. So like the word voluptuous, but with art.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And I
thank
definitely
you.
Support all that you do. Again, keep up the good work.
Oh, you're amazing. I'm just glad to have some time with you, and I love your show. Thanks.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. So last but definitely not least is Denise Badeau. Denise Badeau is a plus model from Miami, Florida, and Denise is half Puerto Rican and half Kuwaiti, making her a very interesting mix and look. In a few short years, Denise went from virtually unknown to a full-fledged working model on top of her game. She has modeled for companies including Kohl's, Macy's, Forever 21, Just My Size, Torrid, Ashley Stewart, Legs, Avenue, Monifa C, Kiona, Intimate Apparels, and Hips and Curves. Most recently, she appeared on Nouveau TV's Curvy Girls. Denise's career has no signs of slowing down, and you will be hearing much more from this young lady. Her star is just beginning to shine. Let's welcome Denise to the show. Hi, Denise. Denise? We're having technical issues tonight. Denise, are you there? If you can hear me, maybe you need to hang up and call back because I have you on the line, but we can't hear anything. Okay, Denise just hung up, so we're going to wait for her to call back in, and hopefully we can get her on the air. I'm excited to talk to Denise. She has really blossomed into an amazing model. All right, let's see if we can get her on the air. Denise.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi. Sorry, I think I went through some technical difficulties myself.
That's okay. We made it. So, first of all, you are half Puerto Rican and half Kuwaiti. Now, am I saying Kuwaiti right? Is that the way you say it?
Yeah, that's how I say it.
Okay.
I don't think there's another way to pronounce it. I mean, I could be wrong, though, to be honest.
Well, do you identify with both sides of your heritage, and how did that affect your body image growing up?
To be honest, I was only raised by my mom. I've never met my father.
Okay.
So I'm not close at all to the Kuwaiti side. It's kind of something that I talk about a lot. It wasn't till I got older, you know, and different people started coming out that were kind of Middle Eastern heritage that I started kind of relating to that. In
mm-hmm.
Miami, there's not a big Middle Eastern culture. When
okay.
I moved to Los Angeles, I was introduced to, like, Israelis and Armenians and all sorts of other cultures that I'd never had ever been that close to. So it was really fun living there. I lived there for 7 years, and I got to experience a little bit of Middle Eastern food, which I genuinely love, but that's about as close as I can. I really do relate with my Latina culture a little bit more. I was raised by my mom, which is Puerto Rican. I visit my Puerto Rican family all the time, so I feel a tad bit closer to that side of myself.
So as a Puerto Rican growing up, was being curvy okay because it's more acceptable to be a little curvy?
I love being curvy. Growing up, I was always, you know, a little bit larger. When I was in fourth, fifth grade, I used to be called Jolly Green Giant, but I was always very developed early on, and I had to, you know, kind of accept it. And I remember watching Jennifer Lopez for the first time and just being like, oh, my God, there is someone like me in this world. And then growing up, Beyonce came out, and I started realizing how beautiful curves were. So I grew up in the right generation where there was a lot of representation of curves, so I was able to embody that and grow with confidence as I went.
So you originally moved to Los Angeles at the age of 18 to pursue a career as an actress. Now, how did that go?
I moved to L.A. at 18. I used to go when I was 13 and 14 for, like, commercials and little things here and there. I always, always had a big passion for films. So it was something that I knew early on I wanted to be involved in, some sort of this industry. And I moved to L.A. when I turned 18, straight out of high school. And my mom, she's a high school counselor, so she was very adamant about me going to school for something. So I started going to makeup school, and in between that I had auditions here and there, but it didn't pan out quite as I expected, and it wasn't as soon enough for me, so I started doing makeup freelance, and that's when I met a friend of mine who introduced me to plus size modeling, and I tested and never did makeup again, and acting hasn't really come back up until recently, so I'm excited about a couple different projects, but it's, you know, it's kind of always been my passion, and hopefully I get to kind of circle back around to that, but modeling is what happened to me first. I was just at the right place at the right time, and that took off, and I'm so thankful for it because it's such an amazing industry to be a part of.
Well, originally, why did acting get discouraging to you? Did you feel it was not enough roles available to you?
You know, when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was a little bit smaller. I was somewhere between an 8 and a 10 as far as size is concerned, and I had always struggled really hard to stay that size. I remember Atkins and diets and dancing classes and anything I could do to kind of stay small and petite, and to me, small as small can get was like a size 8. So I was constantly dieting and still told that I needed to be smaller and smaller and smaller. So to pursue acting for me. So at the time, it was just not really feasible, and it just wasn't going, you know, it wasn't picking up as fast as I wanted it to. So I took, I've always had this passion for film, so I figured if at least I get to do makeup, I can be a part of it somehow.
Oh, so you think if you couldn't be in front of the camera, you'd be behind the camera.
Yeah, I just love all of it, to be honest. I'd be so content behind the cameras in any way just to know that I'm helping in some way contribute to films or TV or something. I love it.
I remember the first time I met you. I don't know if you remember, but you were actually doing my makeup for a project.
I do remember. It was for a little dating show, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like a sizzle reel. And so,
I do remember.
And so that I was introduced to you that day by Robin Crooked. And so is Robin the one who kind of exposed you to the plus modeling industry?
Yes, I actually did a segment with Robin for the Tyra Banks show, and it was something I had found on Craigslist, and it was a total random thing, like, if you love your body and you're confident, and they had a segment where they showed different women's bodies, and Robin was one of the other girls who was in that segment with me, and we, you know, stayed in touch, and, you know, she was telling me about plus-size modeling, and I did her makeup for a test shoot with Sita Mae, which was a photographer at the time, a big plus-size photographer.
Right.
And Sita immediately was like, hey, have you ever thought of modeling? And I was like, no, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah,
it's
I remember
really
the day when you were doing my makeup, they were like, oh, you should be a model. You were like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I was so into films. I never thought about it. You know, I was always kind of told that I wasn't skinny enough, so I never really knew plus size modeling existed.
Right.
And, you know, I was just kind of never, I never saw it. Like, there's no real tours in Miami. There's no real plus size clothing stores out here. Like, if what I knew growing up was plus size clothing was for older women. So I never really kind of understood the market. And, you know, I wish I would have known earlier on. I would have had cuter clothes, to be honest. But it's just one of those things that never dawned on me. And when I tested with Sita and she posted them on a bulletin board, I started getting, you know, feedback. And I remember Hips and Curves reached out to ask me to work for them. And
everything kind of fell into your lap.
Yeah, I was just at the right place at the right time, and Sita saw something in me that I didn't even know was there, to be honest. And I saw the potential, and I started realizing what plus-size modeling was, and I remember Crystal Ren at the time, and then I found Tara Lynn, like, on the internet. It was just, I was in awe of these women and how beautiful they were, you know, being curvy and voluptuous, and I fell in love also, and I'm so thankful for that, because I feel so confident with my own skin right now. Everything is just right, and I don't have to, you know, really diet, and I can live my life in such a happy, calm way, because I'm not struggling to be something that I'm not meant to be.
Your first job was with Hips and Curves, and so at that time you were a freelance model. And so what I read is an agency reached out to you as well, and that's how you got signed.
Yes, I remember there was something on the internet, a plus model directory, and I paid, like, I think it was $35 or something for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And my agency at Brand had, she said she never reaches out to girls, but she saw my pictures and she saw something that she would like to represent. And I went and met with them, and I was signed that day. And she's the one who went out on a limb with me, and she's the one, she booked me on tour and Forever 21, and she took that journey with me and put her face, and I had no idea what I was doing. When I first started, I was just dancing around.
Well, you've been very blessed for it to happen like that, because there's so many girls that want to do what you're doing and just can't get a break, and you have been very blessed.
I took it really serious when I realized what a huge door had just opened. Mm-hmm. And I started testing, and I remember I probably know almost every photographer in the Los Angeles area, because I was ballistic. Like, I would send her new pictures 2-3 times a week, testing constantly to figure myself out and what to do and what worked and didn't work. And so I became so obsessed with fashion and modeling that I'm just so thankful that it happened that way, because I live a dream that I didn't even know I had. It's beyond me. Sometimes I really think about it, and I'm like, wow, you're really lucky, really blessed. I give thanks every single day, because I'm in such an amazing position that I have to do positive with it, and I have to, I mean, I get emails from girls all the time asking me how, and I always try to respond. I try to be really in tune with social media and with the people out there, because it is the bulletin board that Sita posted the pictures on that made the difference for me. And had this internet world not been around, I would definitely not be where I'm at.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Now let's talk about Nuvo TV's Curvy Girls for a minute. Now, how was your experience doing that show?
It was definitely an experience. I'd never really done reality TV, and it's an interesting situation, because you have to put your heart out there and just kind of let your life be seen, and you know, you give the ability to be questioned and challenged and talked about for your personal life. And it's funny, because I didn't really know what to expect when I jumped into the TV show. Mm-hmm. And I got such a positive response from people, and people were just so excited to see someone working and really just doing it and representing for the Curvy Girls, that I am very excited for the future of the show.
Now, speaking of the future of the show, is it coming back for a full season?
I can't really say too much, but there will be more.
Okay.
I'm just in the beginning stages of figuring it all out myself.
Okay.
We just got word that it did get green-lighted, so there will be a full season soon.
Well, congratulations on that. That's great news. Did I get a breaking scoop on Plus Model Radio?
I think you might have.
All right. So
yeah, definitely. It's going to be an exciting season, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's amazing things happening for the Curvy community, and I'm pretty excited to be a part of it.
Can you say if you start filming yet, or you can't say?
I don't know. I think that you guys will see soon where it starts. I don't know what to say. This is a first for me too.
Okay. So do you have anything else coming up we can be on the lookout for? I know right now you're calling from, what, Spain, correct?
No, I just got back from Spain yesterday, actually. It was my first real international trip over to Europe, actually, because I just shot in Barbados too. But, yeah, I was in Spain for, like, 4 days shooting for ZZ, which is a company from Denmark. Mm-hmm. And I am super excited for those to come out because the locations were just phenomenal. I mean, just being there was breathtaking to me. So pretty stoked about that. And I do want everyone to look out because I'm going to be in the May issue of Glamour, which I just got recently here in Miami. So I'm excited for that, and I don't know. There's just so many great things happening. I think there's such a huge buzz in the Curvy community that it's a phenomenal year. I can already feel it.
Yes, I feel it too, and I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I'm so excited for you. I mean, we were just talking how long it's been. I'm so excited for all of the things that you've done, Shanice, and you've really, really set out to be a role model, and I think you've really accomplished that over the years, and I've seen you grow into what you are now, sitting here doing an interview with you. How cool is that?
I know. Well, next time we'll do an interview, it's going to be on TV. Let's claim that.
Let's do it. Sounds good. It was a pleasure talking with you.
And tell us your official website.
My website is denisebidot.com, DeniseBidot. And you guys can check me out on Twitter and on YouTube. I have new videos coming out really soon.
Well, awesome. And again, congratulations on all your success, and we will be following your career as you continue to grow.
All right. Thanks, Shanice. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And thank you to all of my fabulous guests this evening. Tune in next week, and we'll have more Plus Industry professionals with stories to not only inspire you, but to keep you connected with the Curvy community. If you're interested in advertising on our show or being a guest, visit the website at plusmodelradio.com. And if you haven't already, don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook at facebook.com/plusmodelradio. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.